Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
Jesus. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. I'm going to preach this morning on faith. I feel like it's been a little while since we've been around that, and sometimes we just need an injection of faith. Amen? So we're going to get into probably a few weeks of what I'm calling the faith life. The faith life. So living the faith life, not just at church, but in your home, in your workplace, it doesn't matter, in your relationships, living the faith life. Because it takes faith to go above and beyond where the rest of the world sets. You know, the world is not our standard. The Word of God is our standard. So when we look around, our standard is not and should not be everybody else that's surrounding us. It should be the Word of God and what the Word of God says over our lives, over our relationships, and over our home. Amen? All right. Let's turn over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. And I'm going to pray over the word this morning as we, that it has great impact in your life. Father, I thank you so much for your word. Father, it changes us. It's always living. It's always active. It does what it was sent out to do. It produces in our lives what it was sent to produce. And I thank you, Father, that it never fails. Your word never fails. And Lord, I pray this morning and over these next few weeks that every person in this house would be changed by your word, that our spirits would hear from your spirit, that we would be inclined to your voice, that you would open eyes spiritually, Father, to see the good portions that you have for your children. Lord, that it would be a time of excitement and zeal and passion for running after the things that you have placed before us in the spirit, that we will not take no for an answer, but Father, every promise towards us is yes and amen towards your children. So we receive it this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Hebrews 10. I want to start at verse 38, and we're going to go right into Hebrews 11. You know, originally, these passages of Scripture were not written with chapters. So you kind of have to take the chapters out sometimes and read it all together because it flows together. But the chapters and the verses were put in there so that we can have reference points and be able to turn to the same place. So if you'll look this morning with me, Hebrews 10:38, it says, "And but my righteous one will live by faith." Say, "I will live by faith." So hence, living the faith life. Amen? Say, "I'm going to live the faith life." "And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." So we belong not to those who shrink back, but to those that stand in faith. Agreed? All right, so let's look at 11:1, because it goes right into it. It says that my righteous one will live by faith, that we will live by faith. And then Paul goes right into telling us what faith is. He says, "Now faith is confidence, or the substance of what we hope for and the assurance or evidence of what we do not see. So I'm going to stop there. I want to talk a little bit and build a little bit of framework around what faith is, because sometimes people don't understand quite what faith is. They hear it termed in the world, what is your faith? Meaning, what religion do you belong to, or what do you believe in? But that's not the Bible terminology for faith. See, faith is something that's birthed in us through the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you got saved, which I'm hoping everybody in this house is saved, if not, you have the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. But when you got saved, there was an inbirthing in you to believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he came to deliver you of your sins, to wash you clean and fill you with his Holy Spirit and give you a new name and a new life, right? So that started your walk of faith. Every person is given a measure of faith, but it's up to us to grow and increase that faith. Faith is not just something that comes upon us just because we pray for it, but it's something that we grow. It's like a plant, just as the Word of God says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that's planted and it grows into the greatest of trees. Well, that's because it is meant to grow. Faith increases and grows as we set ourselves up for it, as we hear the Word of God, as we receive it into our spirit, as we put it into action. And so we're going to go through some things that will help us to live a successful faith life, a strong faith life. See, faith has principles to it. There are things that if you understand that this world is governed by the senses. The sense realm, the physical realm, is governed by our five senses. And of course, from the time that we're born, we're very keen to those senses, to what we see, what we hear, what we taste, smell, touch. All of those senses we are very keen to. But until we come into Christ, many times we're not very aware of the spiritual side of things. And so there has to be faith injections put in us. And if we don't understand the walk of faith, then we still, even though we've been born again, we'll walk by our senses. But the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that we are not to walk by sight, but instead we are to walk by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. And that's exactly what this is saying here, that the righteous shall live by faith. Well, understand when it says that we will walk by faith, that idea of walk means a daily functioning. It means your daily life. Not just like, oh, I have three big moments in my life that I step out in faith. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I currently walking out my life in faith? Am I believing for things right now? Not just did I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, but am I walking in faith? Am I depending upon the hand of the Lord to come in and have an impact in my life right now concerning something? Or is everything I'm doing, I can do in my own flesh? Because if you can do everything you're doing right now in your own flesh, in your own carnality, then there's nothing that you're actually walking in faith for. But see, the faith life, the faith walk, is supposed to be the daily for us. And so we have to change our mindset and our thinking to understand that my life should be a faith walk, that I walk by faith, not by sight. Hopefully, our wheels are turning this morning. I know this challenges me because we do have to look at our life and say, am I believing for something at every point in my life? Am I pushing? Am I pushing the boundaries of the sensual realm and stepping into the spirit realm? Am I believing for something unseen? See, that's what the Bible says in 11:1. It says that faith is the assurance, the confidence. And see, that's what that word means. The substance is the assurance, the confidence. In fact, it can also mean, in essence, the title deed. If I'm going to go, let's say I'm going over to somebody's house for dinner, and I'm going to let them, you know, I tell them, oh, I bought a piece of property. Oh, you did? Where is it? I can't just carry the property, can I? To their house, and oh, here it is. See, isn't this nice? I have this here, and oh, look way out there. I can't carry the property, but what can I carry as an assurance? The title deed, correct? So the title deed gives me the assurance that I own that piece of property that I'm talking about. Same thing with your vehicle. You have the title deed to that vehicle if you own it. And so the Word of God is our assurance. It is our title deed. Jesus Christ died for this so that we could receive this as our title deed. This should get somebody excited, because as part of the new covenant, you are in the will, the new testament, the new covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave his blood so that you could have the title deed to his portion of life. So everything that we need is found in him, and greater, and greater. See, sometimes we just settle. We settle for what we see in front of us and say, this is good enough because I'm not doing so bad compared to other people around me. But that's the wrong mentality. We should be seeing, God, I want to do greater for you. I want to have greater impact. I want to have greater influence. See, it's not about me, and it's not about the glory that I receive. It has everything to do with his kingdom. See, Jesus came to represent a kingdom. He came to represent God the Father and the kingdom of heaven. That's what we should be representing as well. And faith is the substance. It's the assurance. It's the confidence. It's the guarantee. In fact, listen to this. The guarantee in a legal agreement. See, Jesus, when he died, that wasn't just they happened to catch him and put him on a cross. That was the death of a legal agreement. His death was the significant marker of our portion of the new covenant. Our sins were then wiped away. So his death gives us the new covenant benefits. And it says that the guarantee in a legal agreement, the title deed, it becomes a reality to us. What becomes a reality? The things hoped for. Now, again, we have to go back to the understanding of the original word, because hoped for isn't like, well, I hope it happens. Because that's how we think of it in our culture. Well, I hope this happens. Well, we're hoping to see this come to pass. Well, we're hoping that this will get better. But hope in the Greek context was an expectation. It was an anticipation. Have you ever been excited because you know something's coming? Like, I'm expecting this. Not hope for, but I'm expecting it. It's coming. It's right around the corner. And I know that I have this thing because I have the title deed to it. I have the assurance. I have the confidence. And I know this thing is coming to pass, and I am excited about it. See, it changes our behavior. We're not sitting around hoping and going, well, man, I just hope this happens and I'll get excited when I see it, when I touch it, when I experience it. See, the experience starts on the inside. The experience starts with the revelation of his work coming alive on the inside of you. So it's the evidence of things not yet seen. What does that mean? The evidence is the conviction that you feel on the inside of you. When you see in the Word of God, when you hear preach something that hits you different and it comes alive, and something says you can have this because Jesus Christ and his portion, because God the Father loves you and he wants better for you. When he sees that in you, when he wants to pull that out, you've got to see it. You've got to grab a hold of it in the Spirit. You have to let it come alive in you. If you shove it aside and say, well, no, I'm afraid to believe in that, I'm afraid that's too good to be true, then you're squashing faith. You've got to let it resonate. You have to let it come alive in you. You have to let it begin to bloom in your spirit, and you've got to see it with your mind's eye. That's your spirit coming alive to the things of God. So when you receive it, then you begin to see it. And you begin to believe it. What are you believing for? The things unseen. The things not seen. See, if we could see it, then there's no reason to believe for it. But he says, the things not yet seen. That means they're not perceived by the senses. It's not yet perceived by the senses. But where is it perceived? In your spirit. In your spirit. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, you know, I don't have these open visions. I'm not seeing in the spirit. No, seeing in the spirit means you see the reality of it coming to life in your mind's eye. Like you sense it. You begin to dream of it. You begin to think about it. If God says, I'm going to give you, you know, my grandma years ago, she's still in the same home that they bought, like, I don't know, 70 years ago. And they bought that home. It's such a testimony because someone else owned the home, but they ended up asking my grandpa for first refusal on the home. And it was, they had five children and they needed a larger home. They had a one or two bedroom home. And my grandma said it was a miracle. And she said, they gave them the right, the first right to refusal. My grandpa took it, and it was a home that she had dreamed of. She was so excited. But she began to dream of it. She began to see it. She knew in her spirit God was going to give them a home before it happened. What happened? She began to see it herself. She began to sense the reality of it. She began to believe that it was coming to pass. They paid $10,000 for it. They still have that home today. It's like 150 acres on a farm. What are you dreaming for? What are you believing for? And see, here's another thing that we have to understand. Because belief in the Bible is interchangeable with the word faith. But let me explain something, because in our culture, belief and faith are not exactly the same thing. Because belief and faith in the Bible comes from the same root word. To be inspired divinely. To be persuaded. But see, here's the thing. There's a lot of people that believe in God, but they're not living it. You can, it says even the demons believe and they shudder, right? There's a lot of people that believe and say, yeah, I believe in God, but their life and their actions don't show it. And see, that's the thing. In the Old Testament, or not in the Old Testament, but in the Bible, in the Greek culture, the idea of belief was they would follow a teacher, they would follow a mentor, they would follow someone that would teach them. But the whole concept behind it, and if you remember me talking about it a couple weeks ago about discipleship, the idea was that if I follow someone and I receive their teachings, it changes my life, and I actually have to leave the things behind and have a life change. See, our culture says, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I get to cherry pick what I want. I believe in this and I believe in that, but I don't believe in this. Why? Because I don't want to change that part of my life. Because it means that I have to sacrifice something or change something about me. So are we truly believing? Because belief causes change. And see, here's the thing. To believe and to have faith should be interchangeable. But we've changed it in our culture so that this idea that we believe, but then we get this mixed up and we say, I'm walking in faith, but we're just sitting here believing and it hasn't changed our actions. I'm just waiting on God to do it all, and I'm not backing it up with change. Because what does the Word of God say in James 2? faith without works is dead. So if I have faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. That means you've got to see it in me. You got to see something coming to life. You've got to see me acting on my faith, not just sitting and believing that someday the Lord's going to do this for me. There's got to be action in our faith. So what do I have to do? Well, first, I have to receive it. I have to receive it in my spirit. If I haven't received it, I'm never going to hold it. If I'm putting it all on God and saying, God, well, you know best, and you'll do it if you want to do it, our theology is wrong. Because what would be the point of walking out something in faith and having works in faith if it was all up to God anyway? So faith without works is dead. I have to see it first. I have to receive it. I have to begin to grab a hold of it in my spirit. You know, that's what the woman with the issue of blood said. If I can just grab a hold of his garment. She saw it. She saw it. You know, oh, I just want to be like package this up and just like get it in you. You have to, the reason God gave you an imagination was so that you could imagine the great things that he wants to do through you. See, that imagination, that mind is the tool of the Lord to get you to see in faith. See, sometimes we like to shove our brain aside and say, well, just sit over here and just, I'm going to feel in the spirit. But God has given you a brain to go along with your spirit. And as you receive in your spirit, you begin to put it to work in your brain and you begin to see. See, when someone says something to you and they start to tell you a story, I was driving down the dirt road the other day and I saw on the side there was a buck. We got the gun out and we shot that. What's going through your mind? The whole picture of the story of what I'm saying. You're not seeing it in words. You're seeing it in a picture. The Tower of Babel. Nothing that they set their mind to. Nothing that they imagine will be impossible for them. And he's saying this about man. Your mind is one of your greatest tools that God gave you. Your imagination. Don't let the enemy use your imagination. You use your imagination for God. And see what the enemy tries to do. He tries to come in and tell you that you can't do that. You're not good enough. You don't have the resources. You don't have this. You don't have that. Look at everybody else around you. And he starts to speak lies. Look at everybody else around you. They've not overcome. They've not accomplished that. They've not done this. You don't have this. You don't have that. And you begin to think and believe that lie. And so that's what you begin to see for yourself. That if I can just get to the standard of everybody else around me, then I'll be doing good. That's not your standard. That's why the Bible says that the righteous grow brighter and brighter until that coming perfect day. Your life should grow brighter and brighter. Don't settle for yesterday's victory. Be grateful for yesterday's victory. But then you keep saying, God, what else do you have for me? God, what else is ahead of me? See, some of you have even tried to take the world and the things that the world has handed you, and you've become a victim to that, and then you transfer it over into this idea that this is what it's going to be like for God and me too. And then this victim mentality has transferred over to the spiritual realm, and you won't step out in the things of God because of what the world has done to you. God's word is true. He is not a man that he should lie. His word is yes and amen for you. Just because the world did one thing, that's not how God's going to do you. You have to trust in the word of God. You have to believe in his word, and it shall come to pass. Well, how do I know what his word is? Turn to 1 John. How do I know what his will is? How do I get a vision? How do I know what God wants to do in my life? 1 John 5. Let's start at verse 4. Are you in chapter 5? Verse 4? Okay. First John 5, verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. See, that's your story. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. See, the enemy is in the realm of the senses. He is the prince of the air. He is the God of this world. And it says that he blinds the eyes and the minds of unbelievers. But the problem is, many times, Christians, they can become a Christian, but if they don't renew their mind to the things of God, then their mind can stay blinded too. So you have to allow the Word of God to wash over you and renew your mind. It's the only way to begin to overcome the world. Is to allow the Word of God to become so real to you that you begin to take it as the firm foundation of your life and not the lie or not what the world says. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Even our faith. What? Our faith. What overcomes the world? Our faith. Our faith. Here's your key. So the key is our faith. What did Jesus say to the woman? Your faith has made you whole. He didn't say, it's by my great power. It's by me stepping in. It's by your faith. In what? In what God's going to do for you. In the Heavenly Father. In Jesus Christ. In the power of God. It's our faith at work. And see, her actions were different. See, her actions backed up what she believed. So it's our faith. Can you go to the next verse? Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. And I want to stop here for a second, because if you understand here, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that gives us the covenant. They mention three things here: the blood, the water, and the Spirit. The blood is our covenant. The blood gives us our covenant rights. So if you don't know your covenant rights in Christ Jesus, you've got to know them. Because until you know them, you don't know what's made available to you. You don't know that Jesus, he shed his blood so that you could have salvation, sozo, prosperity, wholeness, healing, soundness of mind, peace, all of the things, deliverance. All of these things come with sozo. Once you understand that that's part of the covenant that was bought by the blood of Jesus, then the water, what is the water? It's the Word of God that washes over us and renews us. When the Bible uses the term water in a spiritual sense like this, it's referring to the Word of God. It washes over us. It renews us. It makes us clean. It makes us new creatures. It gives us new understanding. It enlightens us to the things of God. So he can speak how? Through his blood, the covenant, through his word, and how is the other one? The Spirit. The Spirit. He can speak to your spirit. So that logos word, or that rhema word, of God, when it comes alive on the inside of you, and you begin to feel it, and you're like, yes, God wants to do this in my life. It's a specific word for you. When we moved to Hana, that was a big step. But there was such a strong word that came alive on the inside of me, I didn't doubt it. Now, did it mean that there weren't things that came up? Yeah, there were things. We had a house fire. Pastor Brad's mom had a heart attack. The house we were supposed to rent in Hana, the landlord ended up, she decided she wanted to rent to somebody else, so then we didn't have a house any longer. All of this is going on just within a month or two before we're supposed to move. It was an insane period of time. And we even had people come to us. Are you sure that you're supposed to be going? Are you sure that these aren't signs from God? No, they're not signs from God, because God doesn't set people's houses on fire who's trying to do something for him. I mean, I've never in my life had my earthly father do that to me. Miranda, you're going down the wrong path. I'm going to take your car and set it on fire just so that you know. I mean, sometimes we create a theology that makes no sense. Well, are you sure it's the devil. It's the enemy that tries to block you from progressing. That walk, that I walk by faith, it also means to make progress, to progress in the things of God. But the word that he gave to me, actually I read it out of Ezekiel, but it came alive on the inside of me like it was a living word that was so concreted in my spirit that it's what anchored me through every moment. And all I knew was I also, there was a word for Hana, but then there was also a word that he gave me through everything that I knew he was going to turn everything around for our good. And I had to hang on to those words, and I had to keep declaring those words, because that's what gave me focus, and it kept me moving in the right direction, despite what anybody else said. So he can speak to you by the Spirit, he can speak to you by the Word, and he speaks to you by the covenant. That's how you know the will of God. What else does it say? Where are we at, Ryan? Can you put me back up there? For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. They are not going to contradict one another. If you get a word in your spirit and it contradicts the word of God, then the word in your spirit is wrong, because the word of God is always our standard that keeps us in bounds. Go ahead. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater. Oh, that's good. Because it is the testimony of God which has given about his son. It's the testimony of God. We understand that there's a reality in human terms. That's what it's saying. We accept man's testimony. We accept it as we understand that there is a human testimony. There are things that we see. This is the sensual world. This is the five senses. But what's greater? God's testimony. What is his testimony? The word, the covenant, and the spirit. Those three are greater. What does that mean? That means you can take the word of God that he gives to you, and you can take it to the bank, and you can run with it. And it doesn't matter what man's testimony is. It doesn't matter what the earthly testimony is. You want to know something? The word of God, God is waiting for you to get a hold of this word. God is waiting for you to grab it and then to begin to speak it. See, first you've got to be able to see it and receive it. And then you've got to begin to speak it. When it comes alive on the inside of you, it becomes your conviction, your reality, your assurance, your confidence. And then you begin to speak it out. You begin to say it. And as you are saying it, you know what that is? The Bible says in Genesis 1, it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void, and there was darkness upon the earth. But the Holy Spirit, it says, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. What's that about? You ever see those hoverboards? They just hover. Well, the Holy Spirit's just hovering over the water. What's he doing? What's he doing? He's waiting on the word. Because the next verse, right after that, says, "And then God said, let there be light. And there was light." The Holy Spirit is hovering, waiting for you to speak the word. Because a few verses later, he says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness," meaning to operate the same way we do. And what does God do? He speaks and things come to life. He speaks and things come into existence. See, what this is saying in this scripture, that God's testimony is greater, it means that the spirit existed before, the spiritual realm existed before the physical realm did. And in order to get things from the spiritual into the physical, it's got to be believed and then spoken. And you have to refuse to doubt. You cannot allow doubt in your mind. You kick it out every time. Every time the enemy tries to come in and lie to you, you kick it out. You have no room for doubt. You don't make it a small little closet in your mind and say, "Well, you know, you can take up this much space, but you can't have this over here." No, you kick every form of it out. And you don't allow it to nest in your mind. As soon as you see any trace of it, you fill your mind with what? What the word says. The good things of God. Keep your mind on such things. But we can't just fill our mind and not say, because the saying is the seed that produces. See, the Spirit is waiting. He's waiting. What are you going to do with that word? What are you going to do with what's been sowing into your spirit? Are you going to speak it? See, this is, again, if you remember when I talked about our understanding of belief and faith, that's where a lot of people get into that. They start going like this: "Well, we're believing for, but there's no action being taken. They're just believing for that God's going to do something about this. We're believing for, but over here is the realm of faith where we're actually walking in it and we're saying, I have it. I have it. I have what God says that he has for me. I have my healing. I have that property. I have that house. I have that job. I have friendships. I have relationships. I have that. Why? Because I've already got it in my spirit. I'm not waiting on it. I have it in my spirit. It's just going, it's getting ready to manifest into the natural because I've received it here and I'm speaking it out. See, you're a creator after your Father God, who is the ultimate creator. Are you catching it? Let's go ahead and finish up that verse. 1 John, wherever we left off at. "Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe, God has made him out to be a liar." See, if we don't receive the testimony of Jesus, who is the liar?
We are.
Ooh. Okay. Don't speak out the things that God does not have for you. "Because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life." I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. See, you can know that you have eternal life. You don't have to wonder whether or not you have eternal life. He says, I write these things to you so that you what? So that you know, not so that you feel. It's not based on feeling. There was a guy once years ago, he was so convinced that he wasn't saved because he didn't have a feeling. And he kept arguing with my mom because he was in my mom's Sunday school class. And he kept saying, well, I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel anything. She said, it's not based on feelings. It's based on the fact of what the Word of God says, that you are saved. If you confess him, you believe in your heart that he is Lord, you confess him with your mouth, you are saved. It's not. He never once said anything about feelings, that you'll feel anything. Some people do feel a difference, but some people may not feel a difference immediately. But it's not based on feeling. Go ahead and put that back up, Ryan. So that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, and of course we already talked about how do we know the will, it's by his covenant blood, by his word, and by his spirit. So if we're asking anything according to his will, he hears us. I don't know why they do it like that. He hears us. Go ahead. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So we have a confidence in knowing. Again, it's not about feeling, but we know that if we're asking according to his will, he hears us. So we shouldn't have, from this point on, if you wonder if the Lord hears you, he hears you. If it's according to his will, then he hears you. And if he hears you, then what? You know that you have what you've asked of him. Isn't that a comforting scripture? That should give you a lot of peace. That should bring a lot of security to your prayer life and to your walk with the Lord. And that right there is a foundational truth. Again, it's not based upon feeling. It's based upon the foundation of the Word of God. I don't have to feel like he's with me today, but I know he's with me today. I don't have to pray, God be with me today. He is with me every single day. Everywhere I go, everywhere I am, there he is. I don't have to pray and wait on a feeling to be convinced that he's with me. He said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I am with you to the end of the age. So then again, I don't have to wait on a feeling to feel the presence of God. You know, when we feel the presence of God, it's a benefit. But it doesn't mean that he's not there. It just means that we're being blessed with the manifestation of his presence at that moment. And thank God for it. What a wonderful thing. But it doesn't mean that's what we base our walk of faith on. Because if we were basing it upon that, then we would no longer be walking by faith. You walk by faith, not by sight. You walk by faith, not by senses. So you have the evidence of the things unseen. The evidence, the conviction, the inner persuasion. See, this word being preached, some of you are receiving this word and it's coming alive on the inside of you. That is faith being instilled in you. It's now, it's like the, it's caused the unveiling of the word and it's beginning to work, a work in you. And if you'll keep that and guard that, then it will keep you on a path of peace where you will know, like, it's not based upon feeling and it's not based upon on whether or not I feel him in his presence. It's based upon the truth of his word, the title deed of his word, the evidence of things not sensed or perceived. See, you've never once, if you own a home, if you own a car, you have never once sat there with your title deed in hand going, I'm just not feeling like I own it. I'm just not, I know our house is sitting on this property, but I don't feel like I own it. But you're holding the title deed. This is our title deed. That's why you have to treat this not based on emotion, but based on the fact that God has given you this. He has blessed us with this title deed. Oh, how precious. Why do you think the enemy goes after the word of God? Why do you think there are so many parables that say to guard the word that's been planted in you, that saves your soul? That saves your soul. You guard the word that's implanted in you because it saves your souls. What is that? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So you guarding the word that's been instilled in your heart, that's the life and death point of determining whether or not that word will produce fruit. You've got to guard it. You've got to stand on it. You've got to receive it. You've got to see it. You've got to begin to speak it. And you have to refuse doubt. Refuse doubt. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. I don't know what the Lord has laid on some of your hearts this year concerning the word double or increase, or maybe there's been something specific that he's been speaking to you. But I challenge you to keep that word before you and to walk that word out. If you haven't been applying the faith, then begin to apply the faith. See, when we made that big move, we had to start somewhere. We couldn't just sit in our living room and go, well, when God's ready for us to be there, he'll just transport us. We'll just be lifted up out of our house and be planted over here on the island of Maui. We had to do something. We had to walk in faith. It took faith to come home. It took faith to live there. It took faith, we went from... You know, our salary literally needed to triple in order for us to live there because of the expenses and because of carrying the church the first couple years. There was no congregant members. There was no one tithing yet, and you don't go into a church plant preaching the very first Sunday on tithing because that's probably not going to be the best, unless the Holy Spirit specifically says to do it. But you're gaining trust at first with the people, especially when it's a different culture. So it's not the first thing you do. There's time that, has to take place. So we had to have triple the amount of income. But you know what? I couldn't sit around and think about that. I'm not saying we weren't going to do anything about it. What I'm saying is I couldn't allow worry to take hold in my mind. When we go there and gas prices in Hana are six something a gallon, I couldn't sit and worry about how are we going to pay for this. I had to believe that, and all I kept saying was, the Lord told us to be here. He will provide. He's not going to call me somewhere and not provide. So I knew that I don't know how, but God's going to make a way. It's not my job to know the how. All I have to do is walk it out. Walk by faith and not by sight. Not by what's in my checkbook. Not by what's setting around. Not by what I'm seeing when we want to get ice cream and it's $20 a gallon and I'm going to let my kids have a treat and have a $20 gallon of ice cream. We did it, didn't we? We made it happen. And I didn't sit around and wonder, where is this going to come from? You have to refuse fear. You have to refuse doubt. It's from the enemy. Because the enemy will try to lie to you. Let me tell you one last story before we finish this up. There was a story I saw on a reel not too long ago. It was a lady. She had been pregnant, and she had went to the doctor, and the doctor told her, you need to abort this child. He's not conducive to life for whatever reason. And they began to tell her that she needed to get rid of the baby. And she'd had a prophetic word not too long before that. And someone had spoken over this child. And I don't remember what the word was, but she knew that this was the word that was spoken over him. And she's like, I'm not getting rid of my baby. And she just kept declaring this word over her child. And you know, her baby was fine, but what ended up happening, what was interesting, the devil's such a liar. The doctor said, oh, we got a file mixed up, and there was someone else's file or paper in your file folder. The devil is a liar, and he will try to tell you something that looks legit on the surface to get you to believe a lie, to destroy your future, to destroy that destiny, and to destroy what God has called you to do. That's why you cannot rely on the sensual world. You stand on the word of God. I believe that this year, many of you are going to step into a new level of faith. You're going to start operating at new levels. You're going to begin to operate in a place where you're stepping out and you're like, I've never done this before. I've never walked this out before, but I'm going to this year. I'm going to believe in God for it. And you're going to see God come in, and he's going to do amazing things. Amazing things for you this year. Let's just bow our head before we take communion. I want to make sure that everyone is saved. We have open communion here. And that just means that anyone that has asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life, they live for the Lord, you are welcome to take communion. It's not a denomination thing. It is a Jesus Christ thing. But I want to make sure also that everybody is saved before they take communion. Because it is the blood, it represents the blood of Jesus Christ, and it is a covenant. So that covenant, if someone is not in Christ, it can do more harm than good if they're taking the communion before being part of the body of Christ. So if there's anyone here today that says, I haven't accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to today. I want him to live in my heart. I want him to be the Lord of my life. I want to make this faith thing come alive in my life where I am believing in him, and I have a true faith in him. I'm having a true life change in him. I'm not just saying I believe in him, but I am walking it out. Is there anyone here today that would say to me, that's me, Pastor, and I want to say that prayer. I want Jesus to be part of my life. Anyone here today, if you just raise your hand, wave it at me, and let me say a prayer with you today. I see that hand. Anyone else? Okay. Pastor Red, can you go back and pray with her? And I'll go ahead and give instructions for people. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, that's the most important decision that we will ever make, is to live our lives for Christ. So I never want to bypass that moment, that opportunity. Just as this world is fleeting, it is passing, but our eternal life, just as we talked today, is more powerful, more real than this life here. So let's just go ahead and we don't have any music this morning.
This is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life. Make me brand new. Wash me. Cleanse me. Forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name." And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.